and a necessary part for the church to build, to advance, to graduate to the next level. And so we find that Ruth gives Naomi 5 instructions, and we said the first one we said was, she said to her, wash, but the second one we stopped at, and we're going to emphasize a little bit, is to be anointed. And on, when it was on Tuesday, on Wednesday night, at our father and son training thing, we were talking about how the different levels of the anointing and where people are, right? Where people are at the different levels of the anointing. Now, you know, many people are stuck at the leper's anointing. There are three anointings, right? Everyone knows the three anointings. Yeah? For those of you that were here, you don't act like you know it because you didn't know it too. You should have known it. The three anointings. What's the three anointings in a person's life, in a believer's life? I gave you the first one. A leper's anointing. The believer's anointing. And the kingly anointing. Right? These are the three basic anointings in a person. There are many others, but these are the three basic anointings linked to a believer. Now, the leper's anointing is the anointing when the leper, or when your sin has been cleansed and you've been sanctified and you've been declared sanctified. The Bible says that when the lepers came to Jesus and Jesus healed them, Jesus said to them, go back to the priest and show yourself to the priest. Showing yourself to the priest meant that the priest was the only person that had the right to declare you sanctified. Okay? So that speaks of salvation past. That speaks of your initial salvation. That speaks of your entrance into the presence of God, the salvation pass. That is what the leper's anointing speaks about. And then you have the believer's anointing. The believer's anointing found in Matthew, in the book of Mark chapter 16, you find that the Bible says that for those who believe, they shall cast out devils, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall pick up deadly serpents, and they shall even drink deadly poison, nothing shall harm them. That is the believer's anointing. Many people are not at that anointing. And that's the second level of the anointing. That is salvation in the present. That is your justification. When you are justified, you are able to cast out devils. When you are justified, you are able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When you are justified, you are able to pick up deadly serpents. Now, we know that you're not supposed to go, and we're not saying that now you go look for every snake and become a snake handler. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about handle deadly situations in terms of demonic attack or spiritual attack. And so we find that you're able to do that. You're able to drink deadly poison. Even that itself means that if somebody had to try something, if somebody had to poison you in some way, from a spiritual perspective or even a physical perspective, without you knowing, I believe God will supernaturally intervene on your behalf. Amen. So that's the believer's anointing. Now let's ask that question. We all call ourselves believers. How many of us are at that anointing? If I had to ask, go around the room, just take this off me, Josh. If I had to go around the room and ask, how many of you have cast out a devil in your life? From somebody. I'm not asking you to pick your hand up now. I'm just saying. Most of you, if you start seeing somebody manifesting, you're looking for my number. Or Gabriel's number. And that time the fingers don't work on the phone too. You'll be pressing all the wrong numbers. What happens? Most of us get, as they say, airlocked, you know? Tongue-tied. But you're supposed to be at least at the believer's anointing after saved for 2 or 3 years. That means when somebody is sick, you're supposed to lay hands and they're supposed to recover. Come on now. That means that everyone who says he's a believer ought to be speaking in tongues, because the Bible says you will speak in various tongues. So this tells me that many people are merely playing church. They are at the leper's anointing level. Actually, some people are still lepers. They're still lepers. They have not yet progressed even to having the leper's anointing. That means being sanctified. Isn't that frightening? Now think about your life. Now you have to do an evaluation of your life. Every person here. You have to do an evaluation. Let's just, let me just show you Mark chapter 16. Let's just go there quickly. Now we're still talking about father and son, right? We're still talking about that. Let's not lose track of that. But I want to show you Mark chapter 16. I want to read it so that I'm not just quoting it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, and he said, go into all the world and preach the good news or gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, verse 17, and these signs will accompany or follow those who believe. So that means everybody who believes ought to be performing these signs. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hand on the sick people and they will get well. Not might get well. Not could get well. They will get well. Are you following this one this evening? So we find that we are in a bit of a dilemma, aren't we? We're not even at the leper's anointing. I mean, at the believer's anointing, many of us. We think that that's the pastor's job. We think that that's the elder's job. We think that as long as you're a worker in the church, that is your job, that's not my job. As long as I come to church and I am here and I am marked myself present, that's it. Now the problem is that is not good enough for God. If you are not casting out some devils, I'm not saying go look for devils. Don't get me wrong. But if you haven't casted out some devils, you haven't laid hands on the sick, you haven't had some opportunity to pick up some deadly serpents, you haven't had opportunity to, and you're not praying in tongues, you're not at that place, that means very, very subtly that you might just not be a believer. By logical and simple deduction, isn't that the definition? Isn't that what they're telling us? A belief, like if you go to work, right? You got a job, right? You have a job description. Am I right? Exactly. Is that what it's called? A job description, right? It's called a job description. So your job description says you are an accountant, but in the field of accountancy, or in the field of being an accountant, there are different facets. Am I right? Right? You get debtors, you get creditors, you get a CA, you know, you get all kinds of different types of you get auditing and all of that. So you are an accountant, but when you get into the company, you say, right, okay, you're gonna be part of the debtors team. Right? Now, if you go there and that's your job description, you are there, you will follow the job description, and you will eventually be rewarded accordingly. This is your job description as a believer. Anointing at that level. Now, if you can't come through, if you haven't come through the leper's anointing, if you haven't yet experienced the believer's anointing, how are you going to experience the kingly anointing? And the kingly anointing is the anointing the Bible talks about: sanctification, justification, glorification, which is present, past tense, present tense, future tense. How are we going to come to that place when we are now ruling and reigning with Him? So she says to her daughter-in-law, Naomi says to Ruth, the father says to the son, anoint yourself. This anointing is not just an anointing of the leper's kind or the leper's anointing. But this was the believer's anointing, number one. Number two, it also ended up being a kingly anointing. Why? Because from being a gleaner, she ended up being the owner. That's taking dominion, don't you think so? Come on now. Isn't that taking dominion? And don't kings take dominion? Isn't that the job description of a king? To take dominion. If you have a king who is weak and feeble and has no backbone and nothing to, no feet to stand on or no leg to stand on, as they say, he will be overthrown overnight. There will be a coup and he will be kicked out because he has nothing. But you see that, you know the ones that are tyrants? Look at all the leaders in the world. Okay? Gaddafi. Our friend Bob. Right? Robert Mugabe. What's that fellow there in Cuba? What's his name? Forget his name. Huh? Fidel Castro. He handed it over to his brother. The country is now going towards democracy. Soon as you notice that? The moment Fidel decided he's going to hand it over to his brother, his brother is a weaker leader. Now these tyrants, okay, fine, they did the wrong thing. I mean, many of them are doing the wrong thing, or they're operating in the wrong way. But the fact that they have such strong personalities, such strong backbones, such strong leadership, no one can overthrow them. I mean, Bob is there from 1980. Was it 80 or 83? Huh? 80. How long is there? 80. Gaddafi, I don't know how long he is. He doesn't want to die. Fidel Castro, he too. And definitely Gaddafi is having face, all that. He's having, what you call, some plastic surgery done. Because he looks like nothing's wrong with him. He looks like he doesn't age. You see that man recently? I saw him on TV, on a news report the other day. He looked good for his age. And these guys have been there for ages. They look like nothing is, you know, and then no one's going to move them out of that position. Why? Because they've taken dominion. In their own right, they are kings. Hello? In their own right, they are kings. They're not interested in democracy. If we want to come into a place of ruling and reigning with Him, we have to have the kingly anointing. But many of us haven't got the leper's anointing, or many of us only had the leper's anointing. We haven't even got believer's anointing. How are we going to progress to the next level? And if you're listening to me carefully tonight, you will challenge yourself to get the believer's anointing at least, so that you can do some things. Because the believer's anointing also gives you access to a new level of faith. Hey, let me tell you something. It takes some great faith to cast out a devil. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you, it takes some great faith to pray for somebody who's sick and ask God and believe that they will be healed. It takes some great faith. It takes some great faith to believe that you can touch a serpent and it will not bite you. It takes some great faith. So you will move to another level of faith. But then, once you are that level of faith, there is another level of the kingly anointing. But that's not the ultimate. Because the ultimate is coming to sonship. That's the ultimate. But we'll talk about that some other time. So let's come back to this concoction of myrrh. Excuse me. Myrrh. Calamus. Cassia, olive oil, what is the other thing here? Cinnamon, how many things there? Myrrh, cassia, calamus, cinnamon, and olive oil. Five things. Let's come back to this. So we said last week, I was telling you on Sunday, that myrrh is a gum, right? It's a resin from a tree. And it has an antiseptic quality, a stimulant quality, preservative, okay, anesthetic quality, and syringic, which diminishes bleeding, and a perfume. It's a perfume. It has all these qualities, okay? It has all these qualities. Now, myrrh, like we said, was used as an antiseptic. And this symbolizes the overcoming power of the anointing. You see, the anointing that they're talking about there is the kingly anointing. The anointing, what did they bring to Jesus? What was one of the gifts that they brought to Jesus, the wise men? Myrrh. Why did they bring myrrh? It was symbolic of his suffering, but it was also symbolic of his overpowering or overcoming nature. Because Jesus was an overcomer. Come on now. Jesus was an overcomer. And so God is looking for that kind of people. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." If you know that, if you live by that, if you walk by that, if you concentrate on that, you will be a functional believer that will not just be another professional who comes and sits in the church and tick off every Sunday, "I was there, you know, 52 weeks in the year," and be happy about that. God is not looking for people with a good attendance. He's looking for people with both good attendance and overcoming mentality. Not that you shouldn't have good attendance. And so we find that greater is he that is in me. Isaiah 59 verse 19 says, So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy comes in, come on, like a flood. Who's gonna be like a flood? The Spirit of the Lord. The enemy is not coming in like a flood. He can't. Because he can't overthrow us. He can't overpower us. The Spirit of the Lord will come in like a flood and raise a standard against him. And raise a standard against him. You see, this overcoming nature of the believer must be activated in you. Many of us are overcome by simple things. We overcome by little pressures. You know? Somebody gets sick and that pressure just hits us. And we get all tongue-tied and locked up and we don't even know what to do. We get all confused and we get scared. That's the time a believer should lay hands and pray. Hello? I am not saying don't go to the hospital. I am not saying don't go to the doctor. I am not saying don't take the medication. I am saying you can do that, but you can also pray. Hello? You see, often we rather run to the doctor before we actually hear what God has to say on the subject. How quick are we to do that? Too quick. This thing has a preservative quality, has a stimulant quality, and this gives us the ability to go through trials and tribulations. Through trials and tribulations. I want to tell you something, you will go through trials and tribulations. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're just going to be another person that's going through life. And it's trials and tribulations. If you haven't gone through it yet, it's coming. Let me give you some news. If you haven't gone through it yet, it is coming. Now, you may have gone through some trials and tribulations, but there will also be another level of trials and tribulations. There's always another level. Come on now. There's always. If there's another level of blessing, there should be another level of trial. It only makes sense. All right? And so we find that this myrrh, this characteristic of the myrrh, to take you through trials and tribulation. Okay? You see, this ability or this part of the anointing is necessary. It's a bitter experience. But let's be honest, for those of us that have gone through some stuff in our lives, how often we've learned from our bitter circumstances. Hello? How often, because of our bitter circumstances, it has made us better people. Come on now. Let's be honest. Our bad situation was turned for good. You never thought, when you're going through that bad time, when you're going through that bad situation, you cursed the day you were born, maybe. You hated every moment of it. You didn't like what was happening to you. But when it came, and you came through on the other side, and one day you sat back, and you started to reflect on this thing, and you realized, wow, you know what? Had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't go through that situation, I wouldn't be where I am today. You should be happy where you are. Don't try to be aspiring to be in somebody else's position, because you don't know what their position is like. Somebody, you know, always look at other people and say, wow, I wish I was in that guy's shoes. No, you don't want to be in that guy's shoes. You don't want to be in that guy, like, especially when you look at people who got money. You look at people who got money and say, oh, I wish I had that guy's money. No, you don't want that guy's money, because with that guy's money comes with that guy's pressure. You know what I'm saying? With his money comes the pressure. With his money comes the problems. With his money, he's not telling you. He's not showing you. He's not advertising it. You should be wise enough to think. You understand? So be happy with what you got. Be happy with the lot that God put in your hands. Be grateful for what God gave you. And some of us are not grateful. Let me tell you something. We are not grateful at all. We are merely just going through the motions, waiting for one big luck to come along. Be grateful. God loves grateful people. He likes people that are grateful. And you say thank you. Say thank you even if there's no need to say thank you. Even if you feel you have the right to whatever that was done for you or given to you or whatever, and it was your right. Say thank you. Say thank you more than once. Get into the habit of saying thank you. I promise you something. It is an unbelievable experience or unbelievable thing when you're able to become grateful. Because if you can be grateful to your fellow man, you learn to be grateful to God. Some people just can't say thank you. They can't. So that's why when they go to God, they don't have a grateful heart. They go to God with this, God, why you put me in a situation here? What's wrong with you? You know? Maybe I should help you out a little bit. Let me be God for one day. Heaven Almighty. What is that? That was another movie, eh? Bruce Almighty. Yeah, Bruce Almighty. And then Heaven Almighty came out afterwards, eh? Yeah. Let me be God for one day. Let me show you how to run this planet. Let me tell you something. We won't be able to run the planet. We won't be able to run one cubic centimeter of the planet. Because we can't even run our own small lives. How are we going to run this planet? How are we going to run this planet? I mean, many of us can't even keep our own flesh in check. We can't keep our flesh in check. Think about it. Think about it. When you're fasting, the only thing you think about is food. When you're not fasting, the only thing you think about is food. Yeah? When you're supposed to wake up in the morning to pray, the only thing you think about is sleep. When you're sleeping, you're not thinking about anything. And you see, we are not grateful people. God wants us to become grateful. Start saying thank you. Just start doing it. Hey, it might cost you a little bit to say thank you. Sometimes send an SMS, send an email. Make a duty of doing it. You know why? It's a very important. Let me tell you something. Those two words can unlock great things in the spirit. Unlock great things. You know when you say thank you to God? You know what God reads in between all those two words? He sees love. He sees your heart. He sees your compassion. He even sees your need in the middle of it. He's saying, look at this child of mine. I gave him 100 rand, and he's saying thank you. He's so thankful to me. Next time I'll trust him with 100 million rand. Not to become grateful. You see, the mer quality was a quality that will cause you to become an overcomer, will cause you to go through trials and still be thankful. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Come on now. In everything, give thanks. If you don't know how to give thanks in everything, I'm talking about everything. Everything. You lose something, give thanks. You get something, give thanks. You need something, give thanks. There's always a reason to say thank you. And like I said, even if there's no reason, just say thank you. Because you are in such a privileged position. Let me tell you. Far more privileged than many people in this world. Don't look at your life and say, oh, I'm suffering. You're not suffering. You're not suffering. You are not suffering. There are many others worse off than you. So let's come back here quickly. She tells her, anoint yourself. You see, this anointing, had, like we said, it had myrrh. But it also had something. In the myrrh had this anesthetic quality. The quality to numb pain. To numb you. Myrrh would have also prevented you from excessive bleeding. Excessive bleeding. And you know blood, life is in the blood, right? And you know that if you bleed excessively, you will die. Right? And myrrh would have helped you stop the bleeding. That means when the life was oozing out of you, when the life was being taken out of you, myrrh would come in and stop that. The same thing that was once a suffering to you, this thing that caused pain, will now take away your pain. Will now help you with your pain. Why? Because when you went through the problem the one time, listen to me, how this is going to help you with your pain? Let me show you. You see, you went through your problem, you went through some problems, you had some bitter myrrh in your life. The next time when something else comes along, you know what myrrh tastes like. Hello? It's easier to take it. Isn't that so? It becomes much more easier to take it now because you know what it tastes like. But if you went through your whole life and never had any problems, and your whole life and never had any difficulties, and your whole life and you went, everything was smooth, and I don't think there's anyone in this room that can actually say they've never had anything go wrong or anything go bad in their lives. No one here, right? But The sad thing is people go through bad things and they forget about it, and they forget how to, okay, we're supposed to forget about it. What I mean is, but they forget to learn something from it. They forget to learn the taste of the bitter gall or the bitter myrrh. So the next time it comes around, and the next time there's something bitter, it might be a little bit more bitter, but you are able to handle it. It helps you with your pain. Then it has cassia in it. Now this is another plant, okay, a very leafy plant, and it has something in it that a drug called senna. Okay, senna. Now you know what senna is used for? Senna. You had a senna cot. You know what senna cot make you do? Yeah. It make you doo-doo. Alright? Senna. It has senna. It has a purgative quality. It purges you. It cleanses you. It has a quality to purge you. And this is where, we also believe that the anointing. You see, when a mother-in-law said wash, and then she said anoint, she was saying, and the instruction she was giving her was to purge yourself. Anoint yourself was to also purge. This significance of this is seen in the convicting, cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes over your life and there's an anointing over your life. He will convict you of sin. And you will not be a leper anymore. Because leprosy was symbolic of sin. Leprosy was symbolic of the past nature. The interesting thing I was sharing with the guys on Wednesday, leprosy, the word leprosy, I'll find the word out, but I don't know the word right now offhand. It comes from a Latin word that speaks of lion. So a person who had leprosy was actually somebody whose face would start to look like the face of a lion. And we know that the lion of the tribe of Judah was Jesus. And so you find that if you are not discerning, somebody with leprosy, and leprosy we said was sin, somebody with leprosy would start to look like a lion. And if you didn't know who or what they were, you would think that that person was representing Jesus. The second thing about a leprous person was their skin would turn white. And white is the color of purity, and white is the color of righteousness. And you, if you were not discerning, and you didn't know any better, you would think that that person is righteous and pure because of their white skin. But actually, it was rotten inside, and rotting, because that's what leprosy does. It rots your flesh, and eventually parts of your body. Extreme case of leprosy where parts of the body would fall off. And believe it or not, leprosy still exists today. In India, there's leper colonies. There's still leper colonies in India. People still have leprosy. Okay? The cockroaches are one of the main carriers of leprosy in India. And believe me, the cockroaches are about that big. Our natural cockroaches are nothing. Okay? These are super cockroaches. They don't walk on six legs or four legs, they walk on two legs. And you try to kill them, they stand up and look at you. Okay, so we find that these things are still happening. This is a continuous, it's still happening in our daily lives. Spiritual leprosy still exists. Every day we see it. So if you didn't know, you would think the person was a picture of Christ. You would think the person was a picture of Christ. Okay? But they're not. The person is actually a sinner who has not yet been redeemed and has not yet gone through the leper's anointing. And so we find that the cassia, okay, this part of the ingredients of the anointing oil was the Holy Spirit convicting you. This helps. John chapter 16 verse 8, you can go check that out. John chapter 16 verse 8. And Galatians 5:16, it says, when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then cinnamon. Cinnamon, obviously we know what cinnamon is, the bark of a tree. Okay? And it is a spice. Now, interestingly enough, we may laugh about that. Flatulence is just gas. Right? Gas is wind, another word for wind. Wind, in many instances, although we know that pneuma is also translated wind, which is spirit, but we know that that's not, when you talk about spirit, it's very different. But when we talk about wind,
it means nothing. There's nothing. You cannot see the wind, you cannot touch the wind, you can feel the wind, you can feel the effect of the wind, but you cannot feel the actual wind. You don't know where it came from. Well, some people will know where it comes from, but you don't know where it's going to. We're talking about the wind now. So when you talk about the wind, and you see that cinnamon has the ability to, that means if your words, it will not be wasted. It will not be. Hey, all the puns are coming to my mind like loose, and you know, but it will be words that will become. The scripture says, in Isaiah, it says that the word will go out and will not return void. That means it'll hit its target. And so we find that it has this ability to reduce flatulence. It also has, cinnamon has a calming, can be used as a calming agent. Okay. It can be used as a calming agent. Cinnamon is used for that as well. And so in the anointing should cause you to come to this place that the Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that you should be anxious about nothing. You should be anxious about nothing. That means don't stress. Don't stress. The other day somebody was doing reflexology on me, on my foot. And this lady says, "No, you know, you got this problem and that." I said, "No, man, you're talking to the wrong person." She said, "You get headache?" I said, "No." She said, "Your eyes trouble you?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't know. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what kind of reflexology you got, a degree you got." But see, because she's feeling nodes under my foot, so she's thinking, "Nah, I don't know what that is because I've never had a headache. I got 20/20 vision. I mean, I can see things far. I can read that thing. I don't have a problem." She said, the only thing I agreed with, she said, "Do you have your shoulders are always tight and your neck?" I said, "Yeah." Then I said, "Okay, when you finish there, you can start, you know. You can start on my shoulders." but you know, that was not part of the deal. But the thing is that I don't have all those problems. And then she said, "No, you know, you look like you have a very, so she's telling me this now from her experience with other people. She says, from the way your feet is, you must have a very stressful life." I said, "No." She was confused. I confused the whole theory of what she learned. I said, "I don't have a stressful life. Very relaxed life." She says, "Really?" She said, "But you know, all these nodes and all this." "No, I don't have a stressful life. I mean, I don't let anything worry me. Nothing. I go to sleep maybe 1 minute. Actually, 1 minute might be too long. 30 seconds, I'm asleep. Only Saturday night I can't sleep. I don't know why. Saturday night I'm waiting for 5 o'clock prayer. I can't sleep. I am waiting. I got the alarm, but I still can't sleep. I just wait for the clock to wake up. Now I wake up every other day early to pray. But I'm saying on a Saturday, I don't know what it is. Just can't sleep. I think I'm too excited about Sunday. I come to see y'all. That's why I get so excited. But y'all don't get excited there. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So this calamus has, this cinnamon has this ability to do this. It also is a spice. Now you know when you cook, for those of us that can cook, when you add cinnamon to a dish, it's just something there, you know? And you'll cook with cinnamon. We use cinnamon in our curries. We use it in our roast. I use cinnamon in everything. Anyway, I get a chance, I'll put some cinnamon there. But I'm also thinking for the fact that it adds spice. It is a very interesting spice. And we find that it enhances the flavor. Okay? What cinnamon will do, what the anointing will do in your life, it will enhance your flavor. Hey, when you step into a situation, people will be attracted because it will enhance your flavor. People will look at you and they will see difference in you. They will smell a difference in you. Okay? So, we find that cinnamon does that. Cinnamon enhances flavor. Okay? It enhances the life of the believer through the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The believer's life is now made so much better when there's patience, when there's goodness. You know,
God tested my patience on Tuesday. After a long time, I got stuck in traffic. Or was it Wednesday? I was going to pick Kian up. You know, I'm sure many of you must have heard about the M7 traffic. Going 1 kilometer took 1 hour. We took 1 hour to move 1 kilometer. Let me tell you, my pressure started blowing up. And then I realized, God is teaching me something. I mean, I even said, Lord, for this kind of traffic, at least 50,000 people must be dead. I'll understand for you to put me in this situation. But then I realized, you know what? I had to just chill and make the best of it. I had to just chill out. What can you do? You can't do anything. You see, if you're on a bike, it's a different story. You could be gone through that traffic. And that time I'm thinking, why I don't have a 4x4, because I would have climbed the pavement and everything. I would have went over that. One part I nearly do it with my car. Then I reckon, no, that'll just be foolishness. I'll damage my car just to get out of that traffic. But God taught me patience. I just chilled for, 1 hour to move 1 kilometer. Eventually, 1 hour 15 minutes it took us to get to Pikiana from school. 1 hour 15 minutes. And I was a bit irritated. But then after that, I realized, wait a minute. There's nothing you can do about the situation. You can't change it. I mean, we don't have night rider cars here. You know what I'm saying? Even if night rider too, it'll only jump over one car. Night rider can't jump over all the cars. You know what I'm saying? So, patience. It will become one of your greatest assets, the fruit of the Spirit. It will become your greatest asset. Not one of. It will be your greatest asset. Because the fruit of the Spirit lead to the gift of the Spirit. The next one was calamus. Now this is also an aromatic root. Okay? Used in the anointing oil for its aroma. For its smell. It is the fruit. Okay? It is the root here in the situation that gives fruit to this lovely smell that you get in the anointing oil. And Paul commends the Philippian church for their fruit of love manifesting in their giving. Paul says to the Philippian church in Philippians 4:17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. He says, I'm looking for a fruit that may abound to your account. And you see that this calamus is able to do that. Philippians 4:18 says, But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This giving is a sweet smell. I want you to understand that. When you start to become a giver, giving is a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Giving is, you know what? It's the very heartbeat of God. God is a giver. Come on. He gave you life. Think about it. He gives you sustenance every day. Every morning, He gives you a sunrise. Every evening, He gives you a sunset. Every day, He gives you air to breathe. Imagine if somebody could control air. Controlling the oil. And they can just demand whatever price they want. Right? Think about it. We got no choice. They're controlling the oil. We got no choice. We need it for our cars. We need it for all kinds of equipment and whatever. We need oil for everything. I mean, there's so many byproducts. There's plastic and all kinds of perspex and all kinds of things that are byproducts of oil. We need oil. There's nothing we can do. Right? We need it. They're controlling it. They don't own it. God put it in the earth. But they're controlling it. Imagine if somebody controlled air. What will they charge you to breathe? Think about it. They will take a whole group of people and say, y'all are all useless. Y'all don't need to breathe. Now you see, if somebody could control the air, you and I have it. We take it for granted. We don't even think about air. Isn't that so? I mean, anybody thinks about it? Does anybody calculate? I wonder how much of air is in this building. Let's do a calculation about the volume of air. You don't. You don't think about air. It's free. You don't think about how the blood is pumped from your heart throughout your entire body in a matter of few seconds. You don't think about it. You don't. You don't think about all these things. But God gave it to you. God is a giver. You see, giving is a sweet smell. Okay, it's a sweet smell. It is one of the characteristics of the anointing. Giving is a characteristic of the anointing. If you are a giver, that shows that there is a level of the anointing in your life, that you are not just operating with believer's anointing, or you are operating with a king. A king is in a position to give and not expect in return. Come on. Kings are in a position to give, and they don't sit and wait for who's going to give them. Come on now. That's the nature of God. This component is seen in the life of Christ. He gave his life. Luke chapter 4. Okay? Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 53. I'm not going to read it because the time is gone. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16. He is the root. He is a giver. All these things. The last thing was olive oil. The olive oil was produced by squashing, grinding, pressing the olive to get the oil out. To get the oil out, you have to crush it. To get the oil out, you have to completely annihilate the olive. That means there is no sign of the olive anymore. Isn't that so? Olive oil, when you cook with olive oil, do you think about the olives, that where it came from? Do you think how many olives it took to get that one bottle of oil? No, you don't. It's completely annihilated. It's obliterated. It's busticated. Now some of you are thinking busticated is a made up word. That is a word in the dictionary. It means to break into pieces. Finished. That's where we get the word short form bust from. Okay? It's finished. You don't think about it. But the oil is there. The evidence of what it was carrying on the inside is there. Sometimes you might be destroyed in a situation. Sometimes you might be crushed in a situation. But if you are truly of the olive branch of Christ, and you are truly the fruit of olives, you will carry that nature inside of you. The oil will come out. When they squash you, wine must come out, juice must come out. When they squeeze you, oil must come out. Are you hearing me? And if that is happening, then let me tell you something. You are a classic example of what Christ is looking for on the earth. You are a symbol, okay? A symbol of life and spiritual nourishment. You're a symbol of life and spiritual nourishment. Used, the olive oil is used for cooking, used for treating wounds, used for consecrating the priests, used for so many different reasons, and it has such good qualities. Okay, people will tell you don't cook with ordinary oil with all the fatty acids and all that stuff in it. Cook with olive oil, natural product. Why? Because it's good for you. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, you can go check that out. So the anointing, when Ruth says to Naomi says to Ruth, go anoint yourself, that's what she was saying, go do all of these things. Make yourself ready, because there's another level coming. And you'll find out later. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, what that another level is. Okay.